The information included in this podcast is for informational purposes only. Nothing discussed here is intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, and never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you heard on this podcast.
Everyone, this is Victoria Porter. I am a licensed clinical social worker, and you're listening to the Healthy Hot Springs podcast. Health is our most important asset, and on this show, I sit down with local health professionals to discuss opportunities and strategies to help you stay healthy, Hot Springs. Today in the studio, I have Nina Alter. Am I saying your name right?
Correct.
Nina Alter, director of The Caring Place. Mm-hmm. So welcome. Nice to have you here.
Thank you.
Just tell us a little bit about The Caring Place, and I'll let you kind of start that, and then we'll kind of talk about some of the other things that I was thinking. So just go ahead and tell us about The Caring Place, what you guys are doing, your location, that kind of stuff.
Okay. Thank you so much for letting me talk about The Caring Place. The Caring Place has been around in the Hot and part of the Hot Springs community for over 30 years.
Oh, wow.
We are located at 101 Quapaw, which it sits up on the hill.
Okay.
And a beautiful location. That property was donated by some people who loved The Caring Place and felt like it needed expansion and a place to grow. And so that we've been at that location for a good long time. We are an adult daycare and respite care program for people, for individuals and caregivers of folks who suffer from Alzheimer's and dementia-related illnesses.
Okay.
We provide care from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. in the afternoon, Monday through Thursday. And people who have family members, especially if they are caring for those folks in their home, mm-hmm. and they need a few hours for, we have family members that still work. They're still employed. We have family members, you know, that are not in great health themselves, and they just need a few hours a day where they know they can bring their loved one with Alzheimer's or dementia-related illnesses, and they're safe, and they're nurtured, and they're cared for, and then they can pick them back up at the end of the day and feel relaxed and rested and able to live their lives also.
Right, which as a caregiver, incredibly exhausting.
Yes,
right?
Yes,
taking care of a loved one with Alzheimer's or
mm-hmm.
dementia. And so
mm-hmm.
we were kind of talking before we started, and I had worked in hospice for 4 years prior to my private practice, and I know just from that experience how difficult, I think in my personal opinion, I think caregiving for a loved one with Alzheimer's was probably the most difficult that I would see amongst
mm-hmm.
family members, right? Mm-hmm. Trying to navigate that
mm-hmm.
and mm-hmm. be present for all of the difficulties that, you know, the cognitive decline
mm-hmm.
Creates.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to come to this
you know, kind of our discussion as a person who doesn't know a lot about what you guys are doing, mm-hmm. and perhaps I'll be able to ask questions like someone who might be considering bringing their loved one mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. the caring place. Mm-hmm. And I guess my first question would be, is there a level of cognitive decline is there a certain point where they would not be able to come? I guess is my question. Do they have to be mobile? Mm-hmm. Do they have to be able to, you know, use the restroom, like those types of things?
You know, that's a difficult question to answer because we don't have just an absolute point that you would say we can no longer provide care for someone on an adult daycare, respite care basis, because the needs of people with Alzheimer's and dementia change daily. Today may not be a very good day, and we could not keep them today, but tomorrow would be great. You know, okay. They'll be okay. So that's difficult to say. Now, just basically, they do need to be ambulatory with minimal assistance. Okay. And in that, I mean, we just need to be able to prompt them to walk in a particular direction, to move to another location. A lot of our people use walking aids. They use a walker or a cane. But they do need to be able to get up and down with minimal assistance.
Okay.
And follow prompts. And we, you know, for instance, when I'm trying to draw a picture, if we say it's time for us to go to chapel for our devotional before lunch, you know, we start leading the way, and the participants are able to follow that direction and go with us. Of course, they're in a very secure environment. Our exterior doors are all secured. Mm-hmm. We secure some of the interior doors to protect that person from maybe wandering,
okay.
Which people with that disease have a tendency to do.
Absolutely.
So we have to, number one, be sure that they're safe through mechanisms like locked doors.
Well, let's just get into the safety, because I feel like that's probably something a lot of people would have questions about too. Whenever we think about safety concerns, just talk about a little bit like your staff there, training. I guess just all things that if you had someone who called and was asking that question, like what would you tell them?
Good question. Very good question. I'm the director, and I have over 30 years experience in senior housing. So I'm very familiar with seniors and their needs, and familiar with dementia-related illnesses, familiar with the complications of that. Certainly familiar with the families and trying to help the caregivers and the families. And then we have a person that is experienced in senior living, has worked with seniors for a long time, that prepares our lunch and snacks. And then we have two people who are experienced certified nurses' aides, and they assist with bathroom visits. You know, a lot of our folks have to be reminded or questioned and said, do you need to use the restroom? I mean, these are just everyday practical matters that happen with that. With that disease and those needs. And then we have an individual who works with us who has a lot of background in social work and areas where caring for the caregiver is so important.
Absolutely.
Because we do take care of the patient, but I also feel like even as important, and maybe more so in some cases, it's the caregiver we're taking care of.
Yes, absolutely.
So does that answer your question?
I think so. Okay. You were talking about staff. Like, so how many do you call them?
Employees, staff.
Well,
staff,
I mean,
persons?
Your
participants.
Okay, I didn't know.
Yeah, some people use some entities will use the word client.
Right.
We feel like we have a warmer connection with our folks.
Because they truly are coming to participate in activities.
That's
and
right.
things.
Yes. That's right.
How many participants are you able to have in a day?
Well, a good question. we have had as many recently as 16 in a day. We are licensed by the state of Arkansas through the Arkansas Department of Human Services, and we're licensed for 50. In other words, we have the square footage and the facilities to accommodate 50. And I think up to 25 would be about the maximum at this point that we could care for. But
staff,
you have
right.
to add staff. Yeah.
And I'm just thinking in terms of if you have people who call after, you know, hopefully getting the word out, in, as you do in many ways. But, you know, you might have other people who are interested in coming.
I hope so.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Let's talk about, can you kind of walk me through a day? Like if I were bringing my loved one there, let's say at 9 in the morning, are there certain... I know you talked about lunch and chapel, and are there certain activities that are kind of scheduled in regular routine?
Each morning we start the day with what we call meet and greet, which is a period of time when we're getting everybody together, we're talking about the day, checking in with everybody, how was their night, how was, you know, anything going on that they might want to talk about. And then we start out with exercise.
Oh, good.
And we have a beautiful garden area that we completed during COVID, by the way. It was, and it's got beautiful vegetable garden, raised garden beds. It's got a beautiful pavilion and trees and lots of pretty flowers, and it's just a lovely place. So this morning we had exercise class outside.
Oh, because it was nice out.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. It's a secure environment.
And,
then we'll spend that time, that first hour and a half or so, hour and 45 minutes, just getting ready for the day and getting some exercise in and kind of checking in on everybody,
right.
Seeing how everybody's doing. And then we move from that, and at that point, we usually have a little snack. So we move from that to games this morning we were playing word games where you, you connect a letter with a certain item. You know, we talked about... What do you think of when you see the letter C? And that starts people thinking about cat or car or, you know. And we have all kinds of games like that we play. And it's fun and, we laugh. And
right.
Then we have chapel. And then we have lunch. And then we have activities in the afternoon. And that ranges from people coming in and entertaining, like, the Dixie Darlings were there last week. This morning, the Master Gardeners were there. The Master Gardeners come in and do a craft with us sometimes in the afternoon.
Now, are those things that people can volunteer to come in and do that?
Yes, 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 yes.
Yes.
You said the magic word.
Yes. And I could imagine, because I know, in my experience, we would have... people come in and sing at nursing homes and things like that. And
yes.
Even at assisted living and, sponsored by hospice, I guess. But it was something that was loved, I mean, by staff and everyone else.
Volunteers are so important to us.
Yes.
So important, because when a volunteer shows up, they're giving of their heart and their time and their genuine love for our participants. But we're always looking for volunteers.
Wow, that's beautiful. Something a lot of people could do.
Yes,
to volunteer. You were talking about, snacks and lunch. Are those provided? Do you assist with, feeding, if that's feeding your participants, if that's necessary?
If that's necessary, we certainly can.
Okay.
We try to do nutrition, of course, is number one, and freshness. Our meals are prepared daily right there at the caring place, and so then we adjust foods to foods that are easy to eat, and a lot of finger foods because that's easy to pick up and eat. But we can adjust that. We sure can.
Wonderful.
No problem.
Yeah. I know you were talking about how important the volunteers are. Do you have volunteers to come in and assist at all during the day, or is it purely staff?
Oh, we have a lot of volunteers.
Okay.
We have people that come one day a month. We have people that come every one particular day a week. That's their day. That's when they come. We have some volunteers that come 2 days a week. We have some volunteers that work a half a day or volunteer half a day. We'll work with you on your schedule.
So what kind of activities do volunteers do?
They may do crafts. Sometimes, I'll tell you something that is so much fun. Sometimes we'll just turn on some music and everybody dance. One of our volunteers is also on our board of directors, and he'll tell other volunteers, he'll say, "I promise you, if you come to the caring place and dance, nobody criticizes your dancing." So I like that.
Yes.
And so we can find something fun for you to do, something that'll make you feel good. And we have people that come in and volunteer doing yoga, doing painting. Cheryl White comes in and paints every month, and she'll have a different project. And sometimes she'll do a sculpting project earlier in the month and then come back and they'll, after it dries, and they'll paint it. So there's just all kinds of things we can work out.
I'm just sitting here thinking how
you could volunteer.
Well, of course, yes. But I'm just thinking in terms of sitting. Okay, I have to preface this and say, having gone into patients' homes whenever I worked for hospice, how tired caregivers are, right? And mm-hmm. especially if you've been up at night, and mm-hmm. and how hard that is to kind of do that day in and day out every day. And I'm just thinking about these wonderful activities that you guys are doing, and how, I don't know, have you had an experience where people's cognitive, I don't want to say this incorrectly, but it just seems like with that type of interaction, perhaps you could have some improvement on their cognitive interactions, perhaps, after they have come in and done these activities. Because I know, just thinking about the caregivers at home, it can be really hard to try and come up with, right, art and music and mm-hmm. crafts and things mm-hmm. to do every day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, then mm-hmm. you have your participants coming in and doing these activities. It just seems like it might be really helpful mm-hmm. to them mm-hmm. cognitively. Mm-hmm. Is that something you've seen in your participants who have come over time?
I couldn't answer that.
Yeah.
I mean, I know, here's what I do know. I've heard a lot of the families say to me that their loved one was so relaxed when they got home. You know, they had physical exercise and mental stimulation, mm-hmm. and they had had interaction with a lot of different people. And so when they got, you know, when they got them home and ready to go home, they are relaxed. They're calm. Now, I wouldn't be able to judge if cognitively they are improved.
The nature of the disease, it's hard to say that any stimulation is going to make an improvement.
Right.
At this point. But, and perhaps the cognitive improvement comes, is in the caregivers, that they have a chance to, right, that they've had a chance to have a break. And just the normal everyday living activities that we take for granted, like going to the grocery store and getting your hair done and making doctor's appointments and getting to those, and just having a place where you know that your loved one is safe and enjoying themselves so you can go and do those things.
I hear a lot of the families say that they're able to do things like babysit their grandchildren.
Oh, wow.
I just think that's a beautiful thing. Yeah. And then they're able to enjoy that part of their life that they've worked a long time for. And we don't want them to feel guilty, which I think that is something that a lot of caregivers feel is guilt. And we want to take that guilt off of you and let you enjoy a few hours of your life every week too, because it's not your fault that this situation has occurred, and no one did anything wrong to cause this. So everybody needs some happiness and be able to express themselves. And I've just been thinking about that a lot, how they talk about being able to care for their grandchildren.
I know. I feel like I would say all, right? Everyone is just kind of shocked, perhaps, that this is how they're spending this point in their life.
Yeah.
Right? I think we think that it won't be us, right? Yeah. It won't be my loved one, my parent, or my spouse, or...
Yeah.
I know I had a gentleman who said, you know, I just thought we'd be going to Razorback games after we were retired, and here we are now. That's not what he was doing, right? I mean, it is incredibly difficult, perhaps is the right word.
And it's a disease that knows no boundaries.
Yes. And we think of it more for our elderly, but it's not just for the elderly as well. Certainly, we have some younger early onset.
I've seen some people in the last couple of weeks who were much younger than what we thought, you know, the disease would strike. So it's very unpredictable.
Well, I can tell whenever you talk about the dancing and the activities and, you know, there are participants there, your face just really lights up. Obviously, you love what you're doing there. And I believe you're pretty recent to the Caring Place.
I started in April.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
And I knew a lot about the Caring Place because I had been in senior housing management in the Hot Springs area for over 25 years. And I knew a lot about the Caring Place.
Yes, I've always heard great things as well.
Yes.
Such a need for for this. And you were talking about COVID. I love that the garden was a positive thing that came from that. That's beautiful. But y'all were closed during that time, obviously.
20 months.
Is there any concern? Do y'all, like if someone had concerns about COVID at this point, can you speak to that in any way?
I think everyone's always concerned about COVID. You know, we just have to be, my feeling is that we all have to be very cautious and observant Our families will call and say they're not going to bring their loved one in because maybe they've had a cough or maybe they didn't feel well, and they don't want them to be exposed at a vulnerable time. So everybody just has to practice mm-hmm. caring about each other. You know, you wouldn't want to pass it along if you had it. You don't want to get it. And so we're just extremely cautious. We do a lot of cleaning. Also during COVID, we put in an air filtration system. I can't tell you all the details of it. I'm not that technical, but it filters the air. It puts the air through a cleaning process that will kill colds, flus, bacterias, gets rid of dust. That was also something that the board of directors did during COVID.
That's excellent.
They took that opportunity to do that, and it has a system that constantly monitors the airflow in the building. So we're doing all kinds of pretty high-tech things like that to hopefully counteract. And of course, just clean, you know.
That's all we can do, right?
Right.
Just be vigilant and be aware of how our loved ones are feeling and ourselves as well.
And employees, if they, you know, everybody's conscientious, if they think there's a chance in the world that they've been exposed, they call, they go get tested, you know. Everybody just needs to be extremely vigilant, like
Absolutely.
You said.
Local content like this and much more, subscribe to the Sentinel Record by visiting hotsr.com and clicking subscribe.
Tell me about, it sounds like a lot of great things have been happening there at the Caring Place. Funding, is that, I guess my question is, do your participants pay to come, or how
yes.
does that work?
Yes, well, through a lot of different sources, there are, and we can talk with families individually, but there are grants available through different agencies. Medicaid will pay for adult daycare services. If you have someone on Medicaid that's still at home, and they are assessed to need adult daycare, Medicaid will pay for that. Private pay does, of course, pick up a major part of our expenses, but we will work with families. There's all kinds of things out there. Alzheimer's Association, Alzheimer's Organization, all those places have funding available. And we'll sit down, we keep the forms on hand, we'll work with you, we'll tell you how to access that. And we'll work with you on that.
Wonderful. I know, is there a, like if I could perhaps only afford one day a week, or is that if I were signing my loved one up, would they have to come every day, or can, like if I needed just respite like on every Wednesday, could they
come
one day a week?
Yes. Uh-huh. Most people come 2 days a week.
Okay.
It's $72 a day for private pay, and then of course we have the other funding sources that will help people with that expense, and which is extremely reasonable. And then you can pick 1 day a week. We prefer at least 2 days a week, just because we think the continuity needs to be there, you know.
Well, and you know, I want to ask about that, because I know a lot of caregivers who have a loved one with dementia or Alzheimer's, routine and schedule is so important.
Yeah.
And there was always a lot of concern about, well, if we do something different, it will throw them off, right? They might not react well. Is there some way to kind of ease a new participant into coming, or what's your experience with that?
Well, you know, one of the things we do that I think is so important is we have several staff members and several volunteers, and you get to know those people. And certain volunteers, you know, have a certain ability to reach someone at a different. So I try to, if I know somebody is coming that has a particular background or particular personal interest or history, try to engage that person with a volunteer or with a particular employee. So it takes a lot of kind of I hate to use the word customize, but matching up.
Individual.
Yeah.
Everyone's unique, right?
Yeah. And we have participants that will also really like to have a motherly or a fatherly kind of demeanor, and they will help with a new person. So takes some time and some effort and wanting to see that person be successful.
Just don't give up, right?
And don't give up. Right. Gosh, how important.
Yeah. And I think that's important, because over time, this will be their routine, right? Mm-hmm. If you just have to stick with it and mm-hmm. let this become part of the routine that they enjoy and look forward to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can't stress how important it is that if you have a loved one who you are caring for at home and you feel like you need to know more, don't let any kind of guilt or embarrassment or anything like that hold you back. Call us and let's set a time. Maybe you want to meet on a Saturday morning when no one's around and talk about the situation. There are so many emotions involved in caring for people with this disease. And I always have, when people call for the first time, they say, what do you even do? What's the first step? Well, we'll tell you. And
calling is the first step.
Calling us is the first step.
Right.
Calling us.
And oh my gosh, I'm just thinking about, because truly, your participants are getting wonderful things from this, but this truly is for the caregivers, right? For them to just have some time for themselves, just to kind of take a moment and sleep, maybe. Maybe they just need to sleep. There's just so many things that...
Read a book.
Right. Just live in some way besides trying to, you know, take care of your loved one. But yes, I know in my work with hospice, going in and seeing caregivers, it was always like, I just feel so alone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you're not.
Mm-mm.
So many people are struggling with
Mm-mm.
this. Obviously, which is why there's such a need for places like the Caring Place. There are even Alzheimer's caregiver groups, correct?
Yes. There are support groups, and we are currently getting ready to really gear up our support group. We're gonna be working with the Oaklawn Center on Aging and using their facilities some, and working off of their expertise. Kathy Packard has done support groups and has, you know, she really has the knowledge and the skill. And then we're going to be joining in and helping with that. So there's more to come about that, and we'll probably have some of that on our website. But if you want to be put on the list to receive information, just call us.
Right.
Just call us and say, look, keep me in mind, because you'll be able to go into a group of your peers, so to speak, people that understand what you're going through.
Right. You are not alone in this.
Yeah.
People are, you know, I feel like there's some embarrassment about some of the situations that they're going through and having to put, you know, locks on doors and, those types of things. And
or they might be, they're worried about maybe what someone's going to say in a situation. Because sometimes if you ask the participant a question, the response is not exactly what you might have wanted the response to be. So they're worried about what might be said or worried about what someone might do. Don't do that. Right. Don't do that. Don't worry about it.
Because you're in an environment where y'all are all professionals. Mm-hmm. You mm-hmm. understand that with this, this types of cognitive diseases, that what people say, mm-hmm. It's sometimes you just have no control over what they say.
There's no judgment.
Right.
What people should do is one thing. What people can do is another thing. And I was talking with a lady this morning who has a friend who is younger and is struggling with this. And her spouse is so saddened and frustrated because they can't go into social situations anymore because they don't know what's going, what might be said. This is a disease, and if it was another type of disease, we wouldn't be so judgmental. And we need to look at Alzheimer's and that way. It's a disease.
And a disease that affects the loved ones so much.
Yes.
I know I had a family who, you were talking about going out in social situations. He always took his wife out to eat kind of a certain day, a regular, and that was kind of, for him, it was one of the things that he really enjoyed and looked forward to. And the day that he had to stop doing that, his wife had tried to eat the napkin mm-hmm. at the mm-hmm. table, mm-hmm. and he was like, it was just one of the hardest and saddest mm-hmm. days, because mm-hmm. he knew that even that mm-hmm. was no longer. So all professionals here, y'all have seen it, heard it, understand it. It's okay.
Well, that's what people need to understand.
Yeah.
That it is okay. Yeah. And we're here for you. And I would just say, please give us a call. Please set a time to come in and talk to us.
So I know you mentioned the website. Let's let everybody know all the ways that they can get in touch with you.
Okay, so our phone number is 501-623-2881. And if it's after hours that you call, leave us a message. And our website is www.thecaringplacehotsprings.com.
Okay.
And we have a great website. We have a great Facebook.
Okay.
We post pictures of what we've got going on that week.
The Facebook is The Caring Place Hot Springs.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. A lot of great things happening. Such a need for your organization. And Hot Springs is so thankful to have this. I've worked other places where, these resources are not available. So take advantage of this. And just call. You're not alone. Your story, we've heard it. I promise. We've heard it. It's okay. And you need a break. For the caregivers, the improvement in your life is profound.
Yeah.
Even if it's just 1 or 2 days a week for you to get some rest, do something for yourself, go grocery shopping. It's the little things, right?
Yeah.
You don't even realize. So.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, Nina.
Thank you, Victoria, for having me. Thank you.
Yes, wonderful conversation. So, The Caring Place here in Hot Springs, wonderful organization. And she's looking for volunteers to help out.
Yes, yes, I am.
All right, thanks again.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for listening to Healthy Hot Springs. Tune in next Friday as we discuss a different topic related to keeping hot springs healthy. Look for new episodes every Friday on hotsr.com/podcast.